Coming out. I was hoping for a nice sunny day so that everybody would be in a great mood, be a lot of smiles on faces, but I hope you were able to enjoy the rain. It's great to hear everybody singing, great to have everybody gathered together here this evening. For those joining on live stream, we welcome you too. We hope that you'll be able to come and join us here in person sometime soon. As Roger mentioned, both this morning and tonight, I clearly am not Jason. I clearly am not Roger. I am merely filling out of the bullpen, so hopefully I can do a serviceable job for you all here tonight. I know a lot of you all have been encouragements to me already. A little bit of nervousness always comes up when you're on this side. I always consider myself a much, much better listener than I am speaker, so hopefully I can do a serviceable enough job for you here tonight. I know a few weeks ago, Roger came up and asked if I would be willing to do a Sunday evening sermon. Haven't done a Sunday one before. Spoken on Wednesday is a little bit different, but basically all the same. And I had a couple ideas, a couple directions I had thought about maybe taking it, because a few months ago, Roger had, you know, again, planted the idea in my head about maybe doing a Sunday evening sermon. And so, I don't remember if it was a Wednesday or a Sunday, Roger, when you had asked when I was, if you asked if I would be willing to do it on this date, you got up and you were speaking in front of the crowd and you were talking in our auditorium here, and you mentioned that Sunday nights are a great opportunity for encouragement. So it's that sort of, that's certainly my hope tonight, that I can be an encouragement in some way for you all. Certainly, I don't know if we'll you'll hear anything new, hear something that is foreign, hear something you haven't heard before, but certainly my hope is that it can be an encouragement to you as we get to start this week. If you like to flip over in your Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 4. That's where we'll spend a lot of our time here this evening. That'll sort of be our base camp, if you will, for lack of a better term. We'll thumb around a few different places. If you see me holding this little guy, don't worry, not all 66 are in here, just the book of Philippians. I got the other 65 right here. So if you're wondering what this small thing is, just the book of Philippians. So we're going to spend a little bit of time there. We'll start there, and we'll go from there. But if you want to read along with me in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." And we'll pause there for a moment. Now, if you've maybe picked up on when I've given a few invitations Wednesday, if you're one of the high school students who I've taught in class, you probably realize this, or if you've had a high school student or a grandchild who's been in one of my classes, I love looking at hymns. I love reading hymns, using the lyrics, using the words that we sing so often on Sundays, and using that as sort of a connector point to expand my knowledge, to bring a little more life, a little more color to the scriptures. Because I love how many of our hymns are written. I love the beauty that many of them contain. So I look through sometimes, maybe when I'm not having a great day, maybe when I feel like I'm struggling. So I look through some hymns, look through some scriptures, see if anything pops out that can brighten my day, bring me some joy. And this past fall, I don't know why my mind works like that. I guess that's just how I was born. I had some good English teachers. Perhaps those text-to-text connections, I guess, made an impression on me. But so This past fall, I was looking at a particular hymn, and one of the lines, one of the phrases really stood out to me, and I've had a hard time shaking it when I've listened to Roger or Jason teach, when I've listened in various classes, or when I've taught, or when I've given a Wednesday invitation before. And the line from that hymn that I've had so often on my mind has been, "Let us not grow weary in this work of love. Let us gather jewels for a crown above." And so as I've been over the past few months, whether it be teaching a class or listening to a class or sitting and listening to a sermon on Sunday evening, I've tried to view what we're reading, what we're going through that lens of describing the contents, the details that we're looking at as jewels, as precious gifts. And certainly, we all know the significance of what a jewel is. Whether you're a child, whether you are a grown adult, you all know there is a meaning, there's a special preciousness that jewels have. Maybe if you're a kid, you understand the significance of a jewel because it's simply all you know is that little plastic thing that you can glue on any art project, you can glue on any piece of paper that bedazzles whatever it is in front of you, and that's what makes it special. And those jewels that you have glued, that you have taken the time to put on, make sure your art project is all ready for the front of the fridge, you understand that's special. This don't need much explanation as the understanding of how precious what this means, the significance of something like this. It doesn't take too awful much for us to figure out, to focus on how precious, how important, how special an engagement ring is. I mean, after all, the first question, or one of the first questions I would assume most women are asked after their soon-to-be husband, you know, asks them to marry him is, well, what's the ring look like? You know, we all understand the certain significance that a jewel like this or have. Perhaps you might find yourself like me, maybe not fitting into either of these two categories. Maybe you've graduated from the bedazzled art projects. Maybe you're not quite at that engagement ring level of significance. But perhaps when you hear the word jewel, perhaps when you think of what is a significant stone, you come to mind with the series of Marvel movies that a collection of over 10 years, they've made 23 some odd movies where everything in this universe that they have created is revolving around these six little stones. Everything is interconnected. And if you don't know about this, don't worry, not important to the lesson tonight. If you want explanations, I can talk to you about all the different Marvel movies and stuff afterwards. Just know that there's an importance to them. There's a significance to them. But even with all these, even with all the special memories, all the special things that come to mind when we see these jewels up on the screen, we know that the jewels that we have given to us in God's Scripture and His breathed Word are so much more meaningful, so much more important, of so much more significance than any of these three things up here. One of my favorite verses comes from the book of Job. I'd ask if you want to turn over there now. We're not going to have any more verses on the screen. I'm going to make you do a little bit of work, thumb through your Bibles a little bit. But if you want to turn to Job chapter 28, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is Job 28:19. We're going to start in verse 12 as we sort of expand on this idea of finding these jewels in Scripture and their importance to us. Job 28 verse 12 says, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for the articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold." And I said I love that verse 19 Specifically love it because I'm looking so forward to the day when I'm in a great mood and somebody asks me, well, Zach, how are you doing? How's things going? And I can't wait to respond back, man, I'm doing greater than the topaz of Ethiopia. That's part of the reason I love it. But that collection of verses, we're not going to look at wisdom specifically tonight, but I hope that can bring to life a little bit more the importance, the significance of some of these God-breathed things, these jewels that we have been given throughout the scriptures. So if you will, let's go back to where we started. Let's go back to base camp. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4, as we'll go back there and see, even though we've already read it once, let's see if we can find some of the precious jewels that have been given to us there in Philippians chapter 4. The first one, we started in verse 6 of Philippians 4, verses 6 through 12, and the first jewel is there, right there in verse 6, prayer. Precious, precious jewel that prayer is. Verse 6 again says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And there's another verse that I wanted to connect for it before we make a point here. And that's 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything accordingly to his will, he hears us. And I love those last three words, he hears us. You know, a lot of times I think we find ourselves maybe glossing over prayer, maybe not thinking about the significance of it, maybe not really focusing on what it means. We sort of use it as one of those checkbox things, like, okay, yeah, I prayed before I ate, prayed before I go to bed. So we kind of have that lens that we look at it, and we don't always see what makes it so special. Don't always see what makes it so significant. The notion that that you can approach the Lord of heaven, we can approach the throne room, and not just can we approach it, but that we can make a request, and that request is heard. Certainly something we should be more in awe of, I think, than we often are. You know, there is a story, or not story, it actually happened a couple weeks ago. I think this will make sense when we finish this little story. So stay with me through the middle of it, and I hope it'll be able to draw back to my point here on prayer. There was in the tournament that just happened, the college basketball tournament, there was a team that was from a school about 5,000 people, school out in West Texas. 10 years ago, they were a Division II school, not a very good Division II school. They had, I think, 8 wins, losing season after losing season. And then they drew their neighbors, the Texas Longhorns, who had just come off the Big 12 championship for the first time in school history, one of the best teams that the University of Texas has thought they ever had. These two teams met in a classic March Madness, David versus Goliath type matchup. And the little guy, the school with only 5,000 some students, who was just 10 years ago a Division II school with a losing record, beat the University of Texas, who has more money, who has more better facilities, more resources to go get the best players. And so you think, how can that happen? So they were talking to the coach after the game. They were talking to him and in his post-game press conference over Zoom. And one of the questions that was asked of him was, you know, what is the significance of such a victory like this, where somebody, a team like you, a school like you, who was 10 years ago a Division II school, a losing Division II school at that, that you just knocked off one of the best teams in the country. Like, what is the significance of that? And you could see the coach sort of, you know, grab his chin, sort of shake his head a little bit. And all he said was, little old Abilene out in West Texas, we just went toe-to-toe with the Texas Longhorns. And he was kind of just completely shocked and completely in awe of such a thing. And so when we relate that idea, certainly prayer in our relationship with God a little more significant than a first-round basketball game in the month of March. But when we look at it through that lens, through that little old me can approach the throne of heaven with all my problems, with all my past mistakes, with all my flaws, with all the time after time that I've let him down, that I can approach the throne of heaven and make a request and I am heard. What a precious, precious jewel that is. The second jewel we have is the jewel of informed example. We can practice. We don't have to fly blindly when we are living life and wondering, well, if I make this decision, will this be pleasing to him? You know, we don't have to wonder if what he says on Sunday night is going to be the same thing on Monday morning. We don't have to be curious if how we can please him changes over the course of just a few hours. We have a blueprint to follow, I think, is one of the things I had written down in my notes section to be sure I wanted to point out. Not just do we have a blueprint to follow, we have example after example in the scriptures, and certainly examples even right here in these little short few passages from the book of Philippians. Verses 8 and 9 are what I have tagged with this point on the screen, and so if you read verse 8 again with me, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If you just look at that collection of words that are descriptive, I think you'd have a pretty hard time if you're trying to connect with what you've seen on the television, what you've seen on news reports over the past year, if what you're seeing on your nightly news daily, if what you're seeing in your just circumstances around you, at your job, whatever, those words don't really mesh with it. You know, you don't see a whole lot of news stories that you would be able to classify as just, as things that are happening or things that are pure. You wouldn't necessarily see all this bad news, bad things happening and say, "Ooh, that's lovely right there. I love that." But those words, I think one of the significant, most special, most precious jewels, one of the great gifts that we have been given in this scripture in general, in this specific passage, is that these words are not just are we told to think about them, not told to practice on them, but all these words describe God. They describe the God we serve. And if you read it instead of whatever, if you put his name in there, you know, God is just. God is honorable. God is true. God is pure. He is lovely. He is commendable. He is excellent. He is worthy of praise. And we're told to think about the things that he is, not what the world around us is, not what we see in front of us, but what he is. And beyond that, it's one thing to know it. It's one thing to understand it. But as verse 9 says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." And that practice, that's an action word there. That means I got to make a choice. I can take in all that information. I can learn, I can receive, I can hear, and I can see it. But if I'm not practicing it, if I'm not making it a part of my daily routine, not making it a part of my habits, then I'm struggling. I also have listed, you know, 1 Corinthians 11:1. We all know that, you know, be imitators of Christ. You know, that's pretty self-explanatory. We have that blueprint to follow. We have this God-given example of how we are to live our life and how precious that jewel that we've been given is. Thirdly, in any and every circumstance, as verse 12 there says, I can be comforted by his promises. And what a special jewel all of his promises are. You can find them sprinkled throughout the entire Bible, but there are a few there here in verse. I have marked on the screen verse 12, but really it's verses 11 and 12 that I want to look at again. Verse 11 there says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." And part of the reason I chose any and every as the title was maybe to bring a little more attention to maybe this specific point, all the points writ large, but really this one. Because any and every, that little phrase, it's not an exclusive phrase. It's not I can pray and I can can practice, you know, when things are going right for me. Any and every includes the times that are not so easy, the times that we feel like we're struggling, the times when things are not exactly the way that I would have drawn them up. And I don't know about you, but when I read the latter part of verse 12 there, when I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, if given the option, I don't know anybody who would certainly choose to be choosing times of hunger and need over abundance and fullness. You know, we all would I think choose to live in that abundance. Perhaps you may find yourself this evening in your life, maybe with what you're going through, maybe you're facing a circumstance that you would maybe, you know, classify as, you know, a time of need. Things aren't going great. You're struggling, you're sort of digging in, trying to find the right footing. You know, the past year's been hard on a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, and maybe yours hasn't gotten much better yet. You know, maybe your heart's still struggling. Maybe you're still looking for a job. Maybe you're still doing all these things to just try and find something. Try and find some sort of news. Try and find something that you can grab a hold to that can turn you around. And the best thing is, as often is, we have a lot of answers that we can find in the scriptures. That's some more of his promises that we can look at here tonight. If you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 6, we're not going to read the entire section, but Matthew 6, 19 through 34 is one of the selected sections that I have for maybe for you to reference this, to tie it into to our idea of these precious jewels that we have been given throughout the scriptures. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I love that, because if you connect this verse with the verses we read a little bit earlier in the book of Job, about all the different stones, all the different gems that we can find here on earth, no matter where they're placed. If you think about the PowerPoint that we looked at with all these things that we understand the significance of, those three verses in Matthew and the rest of them in Matthew 6 really do a good job of showing us and reminding us that our promises, you know, aren't here. They're not located here. They're not in the land of the living, as the verse from Job reads. Because these jewels, as much as we love our engagement rings, as much as we love our bedazzled art projects, as much as we, or me, I know I love the series of Marvel films, you know, it doesn't compare with the precious gifts, the precious jewels that we have waiting for us. On the screen I also have Hebrews 6, chapter or verse 19, Hebrews 6:19. Not going to look at it completely, but that line there talking about hope, that I can be comforted by his promises. And hope is, you know, often referred to as the strongest emotion. I had a high school or a middle school basketball coach that, you know, we had a decent middle school team, and whenever we would play somebody that probably wasn't as talented as our team was, he would come in the locker room before the game and he would only say one thing. He said, "Don't give him any hope. Let's go." And that's all he would say. We kind of shocked always by it, but that's really all he would say. So hope is certainly an important thing, and I love this verse that points out that hope is a sure and steadfast anchor. You know, it's an anchor that keeps me steady, keeps me grounded, keeps me where I need to be when times are good, when I feel like I'm floating on cloud nine, when things are just going perfect for me. Because it reminds me that I'm not the one who's in control. I'm not the cause. I'm not the reason that all these things are going good. But then it also, hope is that sure and steadfast anchor that when things aren't going so great, and when I feel like I'm sinking, it keeps me afloat. When times of life, when the struggles of life that you might find yourself in, that I might find myself in, over the course of a year like this, over the course of months that like this, that's difficult. It's hope, and the hope of heaven is really the anchor that keeps me afloat. And I know I mentioned earlier, if you've had a class, I don't know why I keep saying that, because there's not a lot of adults that have had the classes. High school students would know. I never like to end a class on just reading a verse. Not that there's a problem with it, but I always like to get the brain turning, get the mind thinking, okay, how can I take what I just read, what I just looked at, how can I apply that into my life? How can I have that help me this week? So we've got a few questions for you tonight that might make it a little more personal, make some of these ideas that we've looked at, of these precious jewels in the scriptures that we've been given, that we can use for any and every circumstance, that we can grow and benefit from. If you hadn't noticed that phrase, that idea that I've been using of gathering jewels, that let us not grow weary in this work of love, let us gather jewels for a crown above, it comes from the hymn, Send the Light. And I love that hymn, one of my favorite hymns, because you can look at it in a couple different ways. You can look at it in the macro version of wanting God's light to be seen, wanting God to be known, wanting God to shine His light. But then you can also make it a little more personal. Look at the micro version. And sometimes there are certain circumstances, certain situations that we find ourselves in over the course of life where it's me who needs to be the one who is that light, who is providing that light for somebody. And that song, I love that song. It's a little personal. So that's sort of where this idea comes from. And on that note, that first point, the first question I have for you is, do my actions, words, and posts, are they reflecting His light? Is what I'm doing, am I using these jewels? Am I gathering these jewels and putting them into practice? When we think about the jewel of prayer, that first one I looked at with you from the book of Philippians, how precious that is, but do I just know it's precious, and whenever something bad happens, whenever I get news that I really don't want, whenever I see news that I really don't want, somebody makes a decision that upsets me, is the first thing I do go pray about it, or is the first thing I do run to my keyboard and type about it, about how angry I am at the decision on Facebook? Because I can tell you, a whole lot more benefit is going to come from 5 minutes of prayer than five paragraphs on a Facebook page will. That second point, on that note, do those looking recognize a Christ-like spirit? That Christ-like spirit phrase, again, pulled straight from that Send the Light hymn. Do those looking recognize a Christ-like spirit in me? When they read the words that we looked at in Philippians 4, when they read that whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, does that match up with how I'm acting, what I am practicing, with the decisions, the actions, the choices that I'm making in my daily life? And again, you can make this, you can look at it in the macro and have everybody looking at you, but you can also make it personal. There's a verse in Ephesians that I hammered away with in the last quarter of the high school class, you know, thinking of it in terms of like a game of operation. You want to be so careful. And the verse talks about how you examine your own heart. And you can look at yourself in the mirror, and if you are thinking, do I recognize a Christ-like spirit? Is what I read, is what I'm supposed to be practicing, is that how I'm conducting myself? That's certainly a question that'll get you thinking. And then the last question, you knew I had to do it. You know, that's the theme this year, building, rising and building. Am I using these jewels, these precious, special gifts that God has given us throughout the scriptures, am I using these jewels for growing and building? Am I using them for growing my own relationship with Christ? Am I building a relationship with Christ? Am I using it to grow and build the local church? Am I using it to grow and build my relationships with other Christians? There are so many different strands you can go with some of these questions. But certainly all very important, and certainly something that at any and every opportunity, I don't know if I could answer yes to all those questions. The last verses I want to look at you with here this evening come from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we'll be, starting in verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I love that because there are these precious jewels that we certainly have been given, certainly have access to. We don't have to go on a Indiana Jones type adventure to find some of these gems. They're not hidden anywhere. They're certainly ready and available in all 66 books of the Bible. But we don't always, like I said, can't always answer yes to these three questions. We're not always walking in the light as we should. Tonight, you know, I appreciate you listening, first of all. You know, I know sometimes I don't like certainly to listen to myself speak, and like I said, I consider myself a much better listener than I do speaker, so just your attendance here in general is certainly welcomed by me. I certainly hope that in some way there's been something that I've been able to bring to light from the scriptures that's been an encouragement to you. I know this is certainly something that I've needed over the past handful of months, over the past year. These are ideas that certainly maybe I'm preaching for myself more so than for everyone else. But those last things, maybe the crown jewel, if you will, that we have, that we've been given, is that hope of heaven, that we can have a eternal relationship with our Savior, that we can have treasure laid up, that we don't have to worry about expiration dates, don't have to worry about all these other problems, don't have to worry about school projects, don't have to worry about anything. But the jewel that we have been given, because Christ died on the cross, that we can have an eternal relationship with him, is just so, so special. And it's so, so great. And if you're ready, if you're willing, if you need to take advantage of this circumstance, I know we said any and every opportunity and in every circumstance. This is one of those circumstances. If you're ready to be immersed in the waters of baptism, to start your relationship with Christ so that you can be saved for the remission of your sins, so you can be washed in the blood, as another hymn that we so often sing. If you're ready and you're willing to be baptized, to start walking in his light, or maybe you're just struggling. Maybe you realize that those three questions, what we've looked at, maybe you're not quite matching up with the direction you should, with the right blueprint. If you need some help, if you need prayers, whatever we can do, if you can do anything for you, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing. Hear this.